Brothers and sisters and friends, I certainly appreciate the opportunity to be again at this meeting. And I want to tell you something to start with. My wife isn't here, and Brother Bill made a comment a while ago. He said about how the Scripture presents itself. I came 840 miles right by myself. My son was going to come. It didn't work out. My wife said, well, she said, I'm concerned about you going all of that distance by yourself. Now, here's where I didn't present the right thing. I told her, I said, don't you worry about that. Because if I get killed on the way out there, I'll go to a greater place in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. That did not go over good. But I'm thankful tonight for to be able to be here. And I hope that I'm able to present one thing tonight. And that's Jesus Christ and Him crucified, brother. I hope I'm able to present that. And I hope that you pray for me this evening as I try to speak to you. I realize tonight that no sermon is measured by the clock, but I believe it's measured by the power and the demonstration of the Spirit of God. And I was preaching one time, I told you this, I was preaching one time in the state of Alabama, and I'm reminded of this every time I walk into a sanctuary and see a clock on the wall. I was preaching an annual meeting one time in state Alabama, and the clock was right up here. So I told them, I said, you got advantage over me. You're the only one in the house that can see the clock. The next day, it was moved right over here. I don't know what they're trying to tell me, but I got the message. I hope you're praying for me for a little while this afternoon. I'm going to call your attention tonight to a text of Scripture found in the book of 2 Peter. I hope I've searched my mind and my heart that God will enable me. Believe it or not, when I was in college, I took two speech courses. It may not reflect that, but I did. And they taught us in that to say what you want to say and get out of the way. I hope I'm able to do that for just a few minutes. With that, I'm going to call your attention tonight to a text of Scripture found in the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to begin reading with verse 1. And I believe tonight there's some important things that this text of Scripture teaches. And I want you to understand tonight while you're turning to it, that I believe that I'm going to give you my description tonight of what the book of 2 Peter is. I believe that it's a promise book because it says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 that the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I believe that, if nothing else, I believe that teaches the eternal security of the Lord's people. And you don't have to go past that to find it. All right, again, in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, that word promise is used in the book five times. It's used in chapter 1, according to chapter 1, verse 3, and it says, according as His divine power hath given us unto all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. I'm telling you tonight, my friends, the promise of eternal life is a precious promise. I'm telling you tonight that the promise that the Lord made, that He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you, is a precious promise. Whenever the Apostle Paul wrote the statement that he did in Romans chapter 8, when he asked this question in Romans, you know, meanness come out in me one time. It does every now and then. I had an uncle that was of another religious order altogether. I went to his funeral and listened to the man conduct his funeral. He read from Romans chapter 8, verse 28. All things work together for good to them that love, to them who that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. Then he skipped and he went to Romans 8, 35. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or peril, all that. In the cemetery, I walked up to him, introduced myself, and told him I was a Primitive Baptist preacher, and I said, I got a question. Why in the world did you skip what was in between? Oh, Brother Hayes, he said. He said, don't you worry about that. He said, I believe every bit of that. And he said, I'm going to prove it whenever we start our study of the book of Romans. I'm going to prove it by sending you the tapes. That is 22 years ago. I ain't got them yet. But I'm telling you, my friends, that what the scripture teaches in between that is the fact that God has got a people predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. That's a precious promise to me. All right, so it says that, so there's precious promises all over this book. All right, now it says, now this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. You know, I've had a lot of people ask me this question over the years. If you believe that God has a people chosen in him, if you believe that he's already got them chosen, if you believe that he's already got them redeemed, if you believe that he's already got them justified, if you believe that one of these days he's coming after them and they're not ever going to be separated from love, God, from the love of God, why in the world do you preach the gospel? Why in the world would I drive 840 miles when I could have went somewhere right here? I believe the purpose, for one of the purposes for preaching the gospel is to stir up the pure minds of God's people. I believe that's a purpose for preaching the gospel. And I think I can prove that. Back over there, I believe it is, in Matthew chapter 6, whenever John the Baptist, now here's a man that when baptized the Savior himself, he saw the Spirit of God descend like a dove and light on his very head. He saw all this, but when he was cast into prison, he sent his disciples to the Savior and said, art thou the Christ? Or should we look for another? Are there another one to come? And he told him, said, go back and show John again. Do you know John back there in the darkness of that prison, he had to have his mind stirred up. And I believe that's the reason for preaching the gospel tonight, the second epistle, beloved. I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance. Now, I've discussed this with some of you on the way up while I've been here. Here goes, brother. I've preached this all the way from the Tennessee-Arkansas state line. I believed it then, and I believe it now. I'm telling you, there's some purposes for the gospel. And I believe the gospel will save us. Now, I'm not going to stand here and tell you that my preaching is going to save anybody for heaven and immortal glory, because it's not going to happen. Because that's already done, that's already taken care of, that's already fixed by what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. Now, what we've got to do is rightly divide what that is teaching us. Can you agree with that? You've got to rightly divide what it's teaching us. I came all the way over here in my pretty red pickup truck out there. One day my wife and I was driving through town in that same pickup truck, and she was driving. I let her drive it every now and then. We was driving through town. She turned into this particular street, and I told her, I said, don't put my truck on this street. She wanted to know why. And I said, because the sign says no trucks allowed. You know what I got to do? I got to see what kind of truck they're talking about. And I believe when he said that in the 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where the gospel will save us, we got to see what kind of saving he's going to do. It's not for later. It's for right now. And I believe the gospel today will cause us from going into error. And let me tell you something. I'm glad he said what he did. I got news for you today. If you're looking for a perfect church, you're not going to find one on this earth anyway. Because we're all made out of the same things. We've all got the same things wrong with us. And you know what that is? Our Adamic nature comes out. I got 2 grandchildren, one of them 7, one of them 3. The 7-year-old belongs to our church. She joined our church when she was 5 years old, expressing a hope in Jesus Christ. The other one is 3. They follow me around a whole lot. And I got on to that boy the other day for doing something, and I'm telling you, Adam's nature come out. And then Adam's nature came out in me, and we had a conflict, and I won. Now, told you that, tell you this. I'm telling you today, even though what we are in today, the gospel can save us. But you got to do some things with it, Brother Don. I think there's some things that's got to be done. I believe to start with, and one thing will work with another. I believe the gospel's got to be heard. I believe it's got to be received. And I'm telling you how it's going to be received. Do you know some folks sometimes has got things backwards? I'm telling you, the mind don't necessarily control. The heart does. I believe the heart will control. And I believe that the gospel has got to be received in a particular way, and it's got to be received in the heart, not necessarily in the mind. And then after that, I believe that the gospel has got to be acted upon. Can you believe that? I believe that after it's received, the gospel has got to be acted on, and I'm going to get ugly. If you have received heard the gospel, if you've received the gospel in your heart and you haven't acted on that gospel, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You ought to be ashamed, because it says now I write unto you that you both, which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Now, in the first chapter of the book of the 15th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, it tells us in that text that we've got to keep it in memory. We had to have some. I can't ever remember time, really. I look back over my life and see that the gospel has meant something to me for several years, for a long time. My wife and I had to have some legal work done. I heard Brother Sonny Powell say one time, he said, if you ever need a lawyer, He said, there's two things that you need to look for. He said, you need to look for a Black's Law Dictionary because he's going to have one. I hope Brother Bill's got one of them. He's going to have a Black's Law Dictionary. I forgot about having two lawyers in this house. He's going to have a Black's Law Dictionary, and he's going to have a Bible. He said the reason he's going to have a Bible is because a Bible is a law book. It's a book of law. We got in that lawyer's office that day. That day, I began to look around like this. I was looking up. He hadn't come in there yet. I got up looking through his bookshelf. My wife said, what in the world are you doing? I said, I'm looking for two things. And I found them. That told me I could trust him. You see, I believe the gospel today applies to our life today just like it did back there in the Apostle Paul's day. All right, so it says, and I now write unto you in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Now here's the next thing that text of scripture teaches us. I believe that it teaches us the validity of the scripture itself. Because notice what it says. It says that we may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior. There's two things right there. Several years ago, there were some primitive Baptist folks. I hate to say this. Truth's the truth. There were some primitive Baptist folks in the state of Florida that began to advocate doing away with the Old Testament. I'm going to let that sink in for a minute. They begin to advocate doing away with the Old Testament. We don't need it anymore. When the Lord came, he fulfilled the law. He is born under the law. We don't need it. Well, it's a funny thing to me that every time the Lord Jesus Christ quoted the scripture, when he said, it is written, he wasn't talking about the book of Revelation. He wasn't reading the New Testament. If it's good enough for him to preach by, it's good enough for me and you to stand on. If it's good enough for him to preach it on, it's good enough for you and I to stand on. That we may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Do you know the important part about the Old Testament is that it points to what I'm going to say. My wife's not here. I'm going to say something. Don't you tell her I said. The Old Testament points toward the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to take it further. It predicts his coming. Now, do I want to do away with that? I believe that I can prove that. And it's already been said here today, but I'm going to say it again. I heard Brother Sonny say one time, if it wasn't worth saying repeating, you never should have said it to start with. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, notice what this says. Behold, here I am. Is that not Jesus Christ? Is he not the eternal I am? Whenever over there in the book of Genesis, in the book of Exodus, whenever Moses was called out to lead the children of Israel out of the bondage of the Egyptian people, after going through all of the plagues and all that stuff, and Moses, they all begin to resist. Moses said, well, got one more thing we're going to talk about here. He said, who am I going to say has sent me? You know, I've always believed that God's in control. Several years ago, I got this nephew. He came home from work one day and his wife told him, said, I've been to the doctor today and said, in about 7 months, we're going to hear the pitter-patter of little feet. Said, they had this sonogram done and said, what's going to happen now is you're going to have a boy. They begin to decorate a boy's room. They begin to buy boys' toys, boy this, boy that, boy something else. When he come carrying that baby out, that was the funniest looking little boy I ever saw. Because it was a girl. You see, I believe God's in control, and he was in control then. And I believe he was in control when he called Moses out, when he told him, you just tell them that I am has sent you. Now, is that not a prediction of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't know what time I looked at that clock. But I believe today that we can find Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, brother. Let's go to the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Unto us a son is born. Unto us a son, unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. He shall be called Wonderful, the Mighty Counselor, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, when it's notice what it says, brother. I told Brother Allen a while ago, putting me with Brother Charles Sanders has been the best things happened. I think at midnight last night we kept trying to tell one another we was tired. And I think we still talked a while. But I tell you this, I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is there. You know, that happened some 700 years before it was done. But notice, Brother Charles tells me this. He said, sometimes the little words is what you got to look at. Well, here's a word that we're going to look at. Notice that the child was born, but the son was given. Big difference in that. The child was born, but the son is given. Nowhere, I defy anybody to tell me, to show me where Jesus Christ was ever offered to you and I. Now you understand this. I believe that he was offered. I believe he is offered, but it wasn't to you and I. He was offered to the Father, and that offering was accepted by the Father. That's why today we can hang to the fact of the eternal security of the Lord's people. Because that offering was accepted And he's sitting at the right hand of the Father today, still making intercession for us. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. All right, again, in the prophecy of Isaiah, I believe today that it's important to notice some of these things. And I believe it's in the prophecy of Isaiah again. I was looking at it just a while ago. And he said this. In the prophecy of Isaiah, he said God's going to wipe the tears away. How many of us in this life have shed tears of sadness, tears of sorrow, and tears of all sorts? Brother Charles is no doubt doing that right now. But aren't we thankful today that because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, because unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the tears are going to be wiped away. The tears are going to be wiped away. And I believe today that regardless of where we might look, I believe today that the New Testament is important for us today to keep in mind. Now notice, and let's go back to that in the book of Second Peter. And he says, notice what it says. And I believe the next thing it teaches us, and I'm running out of time. The next thing it teaches us is, it teaches us the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I believe the Old Testament, I believe there's more than one coming, too, by the way. I believe it teaches us that he came the first time. And I believe that he's already come. I believe that he comes now. I believe that he comes now. Turn with me again. It says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4. It says, judge nothing until the Lord comes. That's not talking about when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. How many times have we gotten ourselves into trouble, into this life, and do as the Apostle Peter said, save us, Lord, we perish. He's not looking when he says that. He's not looking for the Lord to come at a later time. He's looking for him to come now. All right. So I believe that there's a coming now. But I want you to understand something. There's some young people in this congregation tonight. If you don't get to hear another thing, you hear me. The day is coming when you're going to get out from under your mom and dad. I saw somebody talking about bumper stickers. I saw one in town the other day that said this: go ahead and let your teenager leave home. Go ahead and let him support himself. Let him have a job. Let him have his own car while he still knows it all. Let me tell you something. The day is coming when you're going to be out from under your mom and daddy's table. And there's forces out there. If you walk with God, and us adults are the same way, if you walk
with God. And I believe the scripture teaches that. For us to walk with God every day, if you walk with God, somebody is going to ridicule you. Somebody is going to say your mama and daddy don't know what, they're ancient. I used to think mine was. Until the day that I got as old as my daddy was whenever I was born. It didn't seem old. When I got 40, I thought 60 is going to be old. When I got 60, 80 is going to be old. I don't know what it's going to be like if I get to 90 like Brother Charles did. But let me tell you, I believe we walk with God. But somebody is going to say, you don't know what you're talking about. Let me tell you something today. If we stand in the precepts of God, if we stand in God's law, if we stand today in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can rest in the fact of one thing, that I'll never leave you or forsake you. So he says, now, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Let me tell you something. Some things aren't going to change. The sun is still going to rise in the east. It's still going to set in the west. The truth is not going to change. I've heard people say that before the coming of the end of time, that you're not going to be able to tell one season from another. I emphatically deny that. Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. It's going to be here. Night's going to be here. Day's going to be here. Cold is going to be here. Hot's going to be here. Brother, it's here now, by the way. I haven't got to tell anybody that. But it's not going to change. But saying, where is the promise of his coming? I believe in Genesis, back there in Genesis 22, when he said, Abraham referred to himself as being the I am, we see the promise of his coming. When in the same chapter, when he said God will provide himself an offering, there's the promise of his coming. You know, you have to be careful what you read. I used to read that to say something else. You ever do that? I used to read that like this, that God himself is going to provide an offering. It don't say that. It says God is going to provide himself an offering. That's what he did. In the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, God provided himself. Here we have the promise of his coming. And I believe today that we have the promise of his second coming as well. Job chapter 19 and verse 25. He says, though the skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh. You know, Job believed in the resurrection. He said, though the skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold him and not another. When my son was just a little thing, it's probably wasn't as big as some of these. We was riding through the city of Ringo one day, and he just out of the blue, he told me, he said, you know, Daddy, he said, I've decided something. I said, what? He said, I've decided that I don't want to go to heaven. Boy, I like to have a stroke when that kid told me. And let me tell you something, if I've ever prayed for God's grace, I had to have it right then. I sat for a few minutes and I said, well, Tom, I said, what's got that you doing it? He said, I just don't know what's there. And I said, well, everybody ought to want to go to heaven because God's there. He sat for, we rode for a few minutes longer, and he said, all right, if I go and look for God, what am I going to look for? Oh boy, here we go again. I sat there for a few minutes and I said, I don't think you're going to have to look for God, because you're going to hear him say, come in, you blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. There is the promise of his coming. In the Gospel of John chapter 14. And I'm giving you record right now. This is not a funeral text. I've told my wife, I said, just to spite you, I'm going to outlive you. Don't you tell her I said that either. Yeah. But I said, I've left on record, whenever I die, don't you have nobody read this text of Scripture over me. John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I'd have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Where is the promise of his coming? His promise of his coming is right there. In the book of Revelation, I'm telling you today, my friends, the book of Revelation is not one to be, it's not one to be afraid of, because it's given by the inspiration of God. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 17. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. We're going to face sadness. We're going to face insecurity. We're going to face sorrow. But here's the promise. God is going to wipe away all tears from their eyes. So because of the promise of God, look what we have got to look forward to. To a place where I was preaching one time, and I told somewhere in Georgia, and I told those people that I was a just don't like being in the dark. I hate to say I'm afraid of the dark. I'm not going to say that. I don't like being in the dark. My wife one time had some surgery done. She got everything fixed up here the next, right here, so we could get up the next morning, go just pick it up and go. I told her, I said I wouldn't leave that stuff laying there if I was you. Oh, it'll be fine. I can pick it up in the morning. Don't leave it laying there. No, it'll be fine. About 2:30 in the morning, she got up and I heard the awfulest crash. And she had stumbled over her suitcase that she left to pick up. But I found out one thing. It wasn't time to say, I told you so. Wasn't time to say, I told you so. You know why? She's in the dark. That's why she stumbled. But I'm telling you today that according to what the scriptures teach us, that in the life to come, there's no darkness. Because the Lamb is the light thereof. What greater light can you and I have than to have the light of life? So let us look with great anticipation to His promise that He'll never leave us or forsake us. That we're going to be carried. And I want to say this. I believe the Lord's coming back. Don't you go away from here saying that Georgia preacher said something he didn't say, right? I'm not going to say that. I believe the Lord's coming back, but I don't believe He's ever going to set foot on this earth anymore. You know why? Because He accomplished everything the first time. The book of 1 Thessalonians says we're all going to be caught up together. To meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Where's the promise of His coming? It's right there. Let us look with great anticipation then to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you. Amen.